my first time having the privilege to speak up here. It is a privilege, and I will enjoy it, but I'm nervous as can be right now. So pray for me. I know the Lord's spoken to me. It's going to be a little different. I'm going to give my testimony today. Pastor wanted me to do some things a little bit different, just allow you to, I guess, get to know me a little bit more. I don't know if you want to or not, but thank you. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I just ask that you pray for me this evening, and that somehow the Lord would speak to you this evening. So if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, a very familiar verse. Romans 8 and verse 28, you probably have it memorized already, but if you would read along as I read aloud. In verse 28 it says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." This is my life verse, and I'll tell you how the Lord brought that to be my life verse later on. But before, as I said, Pastor asked me to just give my testimony, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story, my family, my story, how I grew up, and how God brought me to this great place. Before we begin, let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege to be able to stand up here this evening. Lord, I pray that you please calm my nerves. I pray that you give me the words to say. I pray that you would do a work here tonight, Lord. Lord, just writing it out and studying it, Lord, is a tremendous verse, and you've caused it to make a great impact on my life, Lord. And I pray that you would do something this evening, Lord. I pray that you'd please speak through me, and that you would give me the words to say. God, I love you. I ask these things in your name. Amen. All right, I'll tell you just a little bit about my family, just growing up. My dad, he grew up in Long Beach, California. My mom, she grew up in Aspen, Colorado. Okay, very two different lifestyles. My dad grew up in a very, very broken home. He said he would spend hours upon hours at the beach just to kind of be away from the house. My mom, on the other hand, grew up in a preacher's home. My dad, in his teen years, they moved to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And there he played baseball, he played football, he was very active in sports, and some scouts were looking at him, and they asked him to come play at Oklahoma State. He got a full ride playing baseball at Oklahoma State University. In that first year playing at Oklahoma State, he had a friend by the name of Jerry Stafford. Jerry, they were kind of crazy together. They were always doing stuff together. Jerry was coaching girls softball, right, fast-pitch softball, and he asked my dad if he would come along and coach beside him. He was like, "There's no way. I'm not coaching girls' sports. Right? They're slow. They're whiny. They're..." And he was saying all this stuff, but then Jerry finally persuaded him to go to a practice, and he realized, man, that was just not the truth. Right? It was actually a really good ball, and so he began to coach while still playing at Oklahoma State. During one of those practices that they were going to, Jerry, on the way, he forgot to get his glove, and he had to run back to the house to get his glove. In those couple minutes, literally a minute going in. All right, grabbing his glove and coming back out, a man by the name of Jim Vineyard. Okay, he came and knocked on the door of the house, and in those next few minutes, he led Jerry to the Lord, just right there on his doorstep. Right, an act of God to be able to time it that perfectly. Jerry went back and began to witness to my dad. He began to tell him about the Lord, tell him that that God loved him, and he began to beg my dad to come to church with him. Jerry was really growing and getting on fire for the Lord, and he was trying to get his best friend to come with him. My dad had wanted absolutely zero part of God, zero part of church. He wanted no part of that. But one day, Jerry was able to bribe my dad really into coming to church with him. His wife, her name was Kay, Miss Kay. She made the best. I'm telling you, I've had it before. Miss Kay's fried chicken, it is phenomenal. And he said, "My wife's going to make you an entire batch of fried chicken if you come to church with me." So my dad, I think, had the same trait, that he was unable to turn down food. And he went to church that Sunday evening. That Sunday evening, he walked the aisle and got saved. Okay, a very broken home, a very difficult situation coming out of. But he came out of that. He got saved. God got a hold of his life. He quit playing baseball. He decided to go to Bible college that next year. And God really just got a hold of his life, and he chose to serve God with the rest of his life. My mom, on the other hand, she grew up in a preacher's home. She just grew up under the stories of the Word of God, and at a very early age, she accepted Christ as her Savior and handed her life over to the Lord, and the Lord led her to Bible college at the same time. Okay, so my mom from a preacher's home, my dad basically a beach bum. Okay, grew up in Southern California on the beach every single day, and they met in Bible college. All right, completely an act of God. All right, but they came to Bible college. After Bible college, they got married. They had my sister Hannah, and then they had my brother Brian, and then 2 years later, they got pregnant again. They had spoken. They said they only wanted three children, no more. They didn't want any more than that. And that third child, they got pregnant, but then a couple months later, they miscarried. Right? Brother Torres, I wouldn't be here. I'm telling you. But the Lord's will. Okay, 2 years later, after that miscarriage, their favorite child came along. Okay, all right. So it was my sister. And my brother, then almost 4 years later, I came along. Almost right after I was born, 2 years, 2 years later, when I was 2 years old, God called our family to Knoxville, Tennessee, from Oklahoma City. We moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, under the leadership of Clarence Sexton and the Temple Baptist Church. My dad began to teach there sixth grade for almost 10 years at the school. And while we were there, my parents, man, they just grew in their love for the Lord. They grew in just trying to lead their family in a very godly pattern. All right? My dad was very new to the Christian life. But even at an early age, I remember learning the Word of God, learning Bible stories, learning the things of the Lord, and having a desire to learn more. I remember asking all kinds of questions about, where am I going to go when I die? How do I get saved? I remember as a four-year-old boy, I remember asking all those questions I remember my mom answering all those questions, but I never remember accepting Christ as my Savior. All right? I knew all the things to do, but I just never did it. And I went on all my elementary years, all my junior high years, and most of my high school years. I thought I was saved because of what they had told me that I had done when I was four. All right? But I never remember nailing it down. I never remember accepting Christ as my Savior, asking Him to forgive me of my sins and from the penalty of my sin. As I continued on that way, just tell you about a little bit about my. My upbringing, man, I grew up a very active child. My dad got us into baseball when I was 3 years old. I was constantly playing sports, and that's literally all I wanted to do for the rest of my life. I got involved in baseball at three. I got into a travel league at four. I played from 4 years old all the way to 11 years old in the same travel league baseball team. It was a blast. I loved it. I remember my dad giving me a baseball. And he took me to the side of the house. We had a siding house, but the bottom was all brick. And he said to pick out a brick. So I did, and I remember stepping off so many feet. I remember going through the motions, and he said to pick a brick and try to hit it over and over. I remember going through the pitcher's motions, man, and acting like I was Tom Glavine, trying to hit that same brick every single time. I just loved sports. I grew up, man, that's all I wanted to do for the rest of my life. When I was 11 years old, God moved our family. The best thing that could have happened to our family, it happened. We moved. We moved all the way down to a place called Cleveland, Tennessee. Cleveland, Tennessee, a very small town, a very different from what I grew up in. All right, Knoxville, man, it was big. Cleveland, completely off the map. I mean, very, very small town. Cleveland, a man by the name of Pastor Steve Grubbs, he asked my dad to come and start a school under his ministry. Brother Steve, he had started a boys' ranch for troubled teens, all right, and then he had started a girls' haven, and then he felt God called him to preach, and he began to preach the Word of God, and he started a church, and then he continued to allow the Lord to work on him, and God wanted to start a school, and he called my dad, and God moved our family down there to Cleveland, Tennessee to start the Shadow Mountain Baptist School. Shenandoah Baptist School. Sorry. I say I'm nervous. I'm very sorry. We moved down there when I was 11 years old. A very difficult transition for me. I really struggled with it. I was 11 years old. I had everything that I knew, all my friends at school, everything that I had known. I played on the same travel league from 4 to 11 with the same group of guys. We knew each other very well. We grew up together. We did everything together. I was leaving all that. All right, to go to a small itty bitty town on the Georgia border. Man, I just didn't want any part of it. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to go down there. But it was, like I said, it was the best thing that God could have done to our family. When we moved down there, we moved from Knoxville, which is this massive city, to a very small city where we had to drive 30 minutes to the nearest Walmart. Okay, not only that, but it was very small. It was very difficult. It was a difficult transition for me, but it was very well worth it. Okay, we moved to a very small house on the church property. The church property had a little addition to the building, and we lived in a 2-bedroom house for about a year. And we had this pretty large house in Knoxville to a very small house here. It was very difficult. We moved in there, and God brought our family very close together. I mean, 2 bedrooms, so it was 5 people in a very small 2-bedroom house. It was difficult from everything that I knew to now going to that. We moved from there to a cattle ranch about 20 miles from the church, and it was even smaller. It was an add-on to somebody's house, and we stayed there for almost another year until God finally allowed us to find a house of our own. I call it a house, but if you were to see the house that we moved into, that God led our family to, you would not have called it a house. The first time that we came on the property to view the house, a cow walked out the front door. I'm not even joking. It was on all this property, all this woods. It had a 7-stall barn on the back of the property, and then that had the other structure that they called the house. My dad, as soon as we saw it, there's like, no way. There's no way we're getting this house. There's no way in the world that we're buying this house. And I remember my mom just being like, it's got so much potential. Okay, we can do so much with this place. She saw potential in everything. I'm telling you, that's the only reason that I turned out the way I did, because she was able to see potential. But anyway, we bought the house. And our family, over the next few years, we transformed that house into something, the nicest place that I've ever seen at that age. I mean, it was pretty remarkable what God allowed us to do with that place. But I say all that to say this. I mean, that took quite a while to say all that, but I say all that to say this. Sometimes the things that God allows into our lives, the same things that God allows to mold us and make us, it's not easy sometimes. It's definitely not enjoyable sometimes, but it's needful, okay? And God means it for good. The Word of God says that in that verse, and we know that all things work together for good. Okay? I didn't want to move to that small town. I didn't want to move to that house. I didn't want any part of that. I'm telling you, God meant it for good. All right, God in that place, on that little horse ranch there, He meant that for good. Okay, my dad and mom, they taught us some great principles during that time that we needed. We needed to learn. All right, they taught us how to work. We had 8 horses that don't clean their own stalls. Okay, we had cows. We had about 30 chickens. We bred and raised raised dogs. We bred dogs to sell them. My dad, man, when we moved from Knoxville to Cleveland, he took an incredible pay cut. He had no more insurance for his family, and he truly had to learn to live by faith. Okay, we did all kinds of stuff to raise the extra money during that time. It was difficult. It was very, very difficult, but God meant it for good. Hey, God began to really work on us. I mean, we learned how to work during that time. We learned how to take care of family. Sorry, I'm scatterbrained. During that time, we learned how to work on that property. My brother and I, some of the best memories I have is from that place. Just learning how to work. My brother, my dad, he taught us how to work at that place. My mom, she was a very wise woman. She taught us in that place how to take care of the property, how to feed the animals, how to train horses, how to train dogs and sell dogs, and we did all kinds of stuff to raise money. She was constantly finding side jobs to do. I remember we sold Krispy Kreme donuts to help pay the bills. I remember on Saturdays, my mom would take us out and have us sell about 300 boxes of donuts. We thought we were doing really good. She said that for every box of donuts that you sell, you get 10 cents. Okay, and we thought we were really, really doing good. But man, after we began to think about it and really see what was going on, we realized that, man, we were spending 6 hours of our day on a Saturday selling 300 bucks of donuts, and we were only making 15 bucks a piece because we had to split it. All right, she would take the rest of that money and pay for bills. And During that whole time, some of the best memories I have are from working with my dad, working with my brother on that property. And he taught us how to work, and he taught us how to take care of family. None of that would have ever happened if God didn't move our family. More importantly than that, though, God began to work on my family spiritually. As a result of moving to that small church, as a result of moving to that small community, that small town, my sister in that church got saved. All right, she later met a man that truly loved the Lord and that started a church in Flagstaff, Arizona, and they're serving the God faithfully today because of that move. My brother got saved as well in that church. He's now faithfully serving the Lord in South Carolina. God began to work on my life as well. It seemed that during that time, during that transition, that God just began to work on my life, message after message. Just seemed like it was geared towards me, and God began to show me as a 17-year-old boy that, man, I never truly did accept Christ as my Savior. I never truly did ask God to come into my heart and save me. And I remember that message after message, just being so convicted over that. I remember we were building a house for a man in our church, not far from the church, and I was working on the crew that was building that house. That Monday came along right after a Sunday night, very convicting message that my mom had to needed my truck to go pick up some hay that day. So she said she was going to drop me off at work. I remember that morning very early going to work, and she stopped the car to let me out of the truck. I couldn't get out. I just sat there. I was like, Mom, I can't get out. She said, What's wrong, Matt? I said, Mom, God's been convicting me over the past several weeks and months that I've never truly accepted Christ as my Savior. She said, You know what to do. And right there in my truck, as a 17-year-old boy, I accepted Christ as my Savior. God had been working on me, and I don't think that would have ever come if we didn't move. We had some friends in Knoxville that we shouldn't have been hanging out with. We would have gone down the wrong path, but God continued to work on our family spiritually. And as a result, all three of the kids were saved as a result of that move. After that point, I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life. I was kind of all over the place. I thought about all kinds of stuff to do. Our family was very involved in rodeos and things like that. I thought about, hey, maybe I can do that with my grandparents. On the other hand, my sister had just gotten LASIK eye surgery, and I thought about being a LASIK eye surgeon. Man, I was all over the place. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. My junior year came around. I'd gotten saved, and at a very early age, my dad had instilled in me a great love for country, and I wanted to serve the Lord in the military as well. Okay, I thought that was kind of my mindset. I was like, I can serve the Lord in the military. I can do that. And I really wanted to go into the Air Force. That was kind of a desire of mine, and that one kind of really stuck out the most during my junior year. And I thought about going into the Air Force Academy in Colorado. Had good grades in school. I got some letters of recommendation to be able to go there. I went and visited the campus. I wanted to really do that with my life, and that's kind of my pursuit. My junior year came and went. My senior year came, and that's kind of was still my desire. I still wanted to go there. I still wanted to go into the Air Force Academy and become a pilot. And so that's kind of where my mentality. That's where I was going. I'll never forget though. I got a letter in the mail from a man by the name of Mark Rasmussen. He sent he was a friend of my dad's. He taught in Knoxville with my dad, and now he was teaching in California. And I got that letter in the mail, and I opened it, I read it, and he just kind of challenged me in that letter. He said, Matt, why don't you give a year of your life to Bible college and just get a really a good foundation before you go into the Air Force Academy. He kind of kept up with my life a little bit, and he just challenged me that way. I remember going to my youth pastor and showing him that letter. I was like, what do I do? I don't really know what to do. I'm pursuing the Air Force Academy. That's kind of what I want to do. And he just said, man, why don't we just go and see it? So we planned a trip. We went out there. We stayed with Dr. Rasmussen. We got to view the college, all kinds of classes. We got to go see a chapel. And Brother Josh, my youth pastor, just challenged me in that time. He said, Matt, why don't you give a year of your life? All right, instead of just going straight to the Air Force Academy, why don't you give a year to God? And just allow him to work on you, allow him to give you a good biblical foundation. So that's what I did. I decided to go that route. And that next August, my dad and mom and I drove all the way across the country, 3,000 miles across the country. They went up to the doorstep, dropped me and all my bags off at the door, and they left. Okay, And you talk about a reality check. It just kind of set in. But I just kept telling myself, I'm only here for a year, then I'm done. I'll be back home. Then I'll be going to the Air Force Academy. I'm only here for a year. I'm telling you guys, God had different plans for my life. That year, God really got a hold of my life. I was able to get a good job working about 40 hours a week, and I met a lot of friends. I really just had an incredible time that freshman year. That spring semester, though, some friends had they asked me to go snowboarding with them. So I went, and during that time, I didn't know they were trying to set me up with one of the girls that went on the trip as well. All right, that didn't work out whatsoever. But what did happen, okay, on the very last run of the night, we were going snowboarding. We had a good time. And on the very last run of the night, they came over the loudspeaker and said, "We're shutting down. The snow's melting. Okay, if you want to do one more run." So we did. And while I was going down, I kept eyeing this big jump that I wanted to hit all day. But I was just kind of scared. Okay, but I think in college, you're out of the house. You kind of have liberties. You kind of feel kind of invincible. I saw the jump. I was like, "I'm doing it. All right, forget about it." And so I made the decision. I was going off this jump. I had no business going off of it. I hit the jump, and as soon as I did, my board came out from under me, and I put my arm back to brace myself, and on impact, I knocked myself out, okay? I woke up, and one of my friends, Josh Allport, he's packing ice underneath my arm, okay? I'm like, "Dude, what are you doing?" I mean, I wake up, and he's just right there putting ice underneath my arm. I'm like, "Bro, get away from me." So I put my arms up to kind of sit myself back up. And when I did that, this arm came up, but this one didn't. I was like, "Oh no!" Okay, I was kind of freaked out. I looked down, and this little nub is going like this. I was like, "Oh no!" So I was kind of freaking out, and I'd broken my humerus. All right, clean break. And we finally got to the hospital. The doctor said, "We're not going to be able to put a cast on you. You have to get a rod. There's a nerve that runs right along your humerus. If you want to." Keep your arm, keep that nerve. You're going to have to put a rod inside of it to keep it stabilized. $30,000 later, the surgery's over, okay? Not only that, to make matters worse, I tried going back to my job, okay? It was a manual labor job. I don't know what I was thinking, but I tried going back to see if I could keep my job. The guy's like, "You can't work here." I had no way to pay for the rest of that year. I was scared to death. I was 3,000 miles away from home, and I had no clue how I was going to pay for the surgery, as well as the money I owed on my bill. I kind of learned right there in that moment that what I'd been living, my dad's faith, my dad's Christianity, I was kind of riding the spiritual coattails of my dad for all this time. That faith wasn't going to get me through this, okay? I began to read my Bible. I began to read my Bible more and just really grow in my walk with the Lord. And God brought me across this verse. And that's I want you to look right now. In verse 28, it says this: "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose." I just sat there after reading that. I just stopped at that verse, and I was like, "God, I don't know how this is working out for good. Okay? I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this time. This is really difficult. I don't understand what you're doing, but that verse says that all things work together for good." I remember calling my dad and saying, "Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to pay for college." I remember him reassuring me that God's in control. You can just trust him. You can just lean on him right through this time. Grow yourself in your spiritual walk with him through this time. And I remember him saying a statement to me that he had said my entire life. I remember all growing up, I had rolled my eyes at this statement so many times. But for whatever reason, when he said it this time, it clicked. He said, "Matt, God knows exactly where you are." That, "Matt, you need to learn how to serve him. You need to learn how to love him, and you need to learn how to just keep moving forward." That statement, man, it just stuck in my mind. I remember going back to my dorm and just getting on my knees and saying, "God, I don't know what you're doing through this, but I know your word does say that all things do work together for good to them that love God." So, "God, I love you. God, I want to serve you. I want to keep pleasing you with my life. I don't know how you're going to bring this about for good. I don't know how I'm going to pay for all this, all right? But I know you're in control." I remember right there, just saying, "God, I know that you're in control, and I know you can bring this out for good." I owed at that time about $930 on my school bill, and I had no idea how I was going to pay it. I was basically about to leave college. I remember going to my mailbox and opening the mailbox. The only person I had told about this was my dad. I remember going to the mailbox, opening my mailbox, and pulling out a letter from my church. Inside of it was a check for $960. Okay, I owed $930. They gave me $960. They never sent me money before. Okay, at the tail end of my freshman year, they had sent me $960. And man, I just praise the Lord out there. Yeah, I think I floated over to the finance office to say I could pay for college. And man, that was a huge spiritual overcoming for me. Yeah, that was huge for me. That let me know God was really doing a work in my life. God really had me here for a purpose. And I remember during that time just saying, God, you are in control. And I claim this verse as my life verse. God, all things do work together for good. Okay, you brought me through this, and I know you can continue to. I remember going back to my room and really thinking, God, is this where you want me to be? Is this where you want me to spend the next 3 years of my life finishing Bible college? Do you guys remember John Jupp that was here for missions conference? The missionary family. John Jupp was my dorm at the time. We were pretty good friends, and God sent me John Jupp one day, and he asked me this. He said, Matt, why are you really going to the Air Force Academy? And I just proceeded to give him all kinds of spiritual excuses, right? Trying to just move him on, okay? But it really came down to a lot of selfish reasons. It really came down to, man, I wanted to make a lot of money. I mean, you retire from the Air Force Academy, I mean, you're set for life. I liked that about it. So it was really some selfish reasons, and I began to really seek the Lord for his will for my life. And I went right back to that verse, all things work together for good. God, you brought me here. I'm here for a year, I promise that. What are you going to do now? And I remember just thanking the Lord for all he'd done and just asking him to guide me and show me. And I tell you, man, sometimes we go through trials like that. We go through trials like what happened my freshman year, and we say, where's the good in all this? Where's the good in this trial? But we have to remember that the trials that God brings in our lives, we've got to remember that it's for our growing and for God's glory. Yeah, we've got to remember that. And through those trials, it's difficult, but if we continue on, we're going to see the blessings on the other side. God continued to work on me, and he showed me that, yeah, I need to be here. I need to be at West Coast. I need to continue to train. And God called me at that point to just serve the Lord in full-time Christian service in a church somewhere. So I felt that was God leading my life, and I just continued to train for that. And God really blessed over the next year and a half. All throughout my senior year, I was able to get a great job working 40 to 60 hours a week, paying for college. I was loving life, making all kinds of friends, and really just enjoying college life and enjoying just growing up and growing my relationship with the Lord. I remember going through all that and just loving life, but my junior year came. I'll tell you, that's probably one of the most trying times of my life. My junior year came. My fall semester came and went. I went home for Christmas. I spent time with my family. We really had a good time. Kind of one of the traditions my dad and I had. Every time we went home, we'd grab a glove, we'd grab a ball, and we'd go out in the front yard, and we'd just pass the ball for hours. We'd throw pop-ups. We'd throw grounders. We'd just have a good time together and just talking and laughing. And I remember the last week that I was there, my dad was kind of sick the whole time, and I flew off to college. The week I got back, one of the most tough phone calls I ever received, I got. That week that I got back, I was walking out of my dorm, and I received a phone call from my dad. I answered the phone, and he told me on the phone right there that he went to the doctors because he really wasn't feeling well. And the doctors came back and told him that he had stage four cancer, and that he had at most 6 months to live. You talk about shocking. As a junior in college, I remember walking off the sidewalk, going over to the gravel that was right there. I remember just sitting on the gravel, just staring out into the desert, having no idea what to say. I remember just sitting there, not knowing any idea what to do, what to say. And I went right back to that verse. We know that all things work together for good. I said, Dad, I'm coming home. And I was like, I don't want to be here while you're going through this. I'm coming home. And he said, no, you're not. He said, there's no way that's happening. You're finishing your junior year. I said, okay. So I stayed. I remember going right back to that verse. All things work together for good. Say, God, I don't see how this is good. I don't see how you're going to work this out for good. God, my parents have loved you. They've served you for 27 years. Why would they have to go through something like this? And I just really didn't understand. Remember, over the next few weeks, my parents, they just kind of weighed all their options. They went to the doctor. The doctor said, with chemo and radiation, the most that you'll have is 6 months. Really, we can't do anything more. My parents had a friend who also had stage 4 cancer previous to this, and she went down into Mexico and kind of went more of a natural route. And God brought her through that, and she had no more cancer. So my dad and mom made an appointment, and they decided to go that route. And so for the next 3 weeks, they moved to Tijuana, Mexico, and they went through this grueling diet. They ate over. He had to eat over 17 pounds of fruits and vegetables a day. All these different treatments, and it was kind of a just trying to get all the toxins out of your body. Was it kind of in allowing your immune system to fight the cancer again? Tijuana, Mexico wasn't far from Lancaster, California. So I remember one time, I really wanted to see my parents. They were only so far away, and some buddies of mine and myself, we got in a car. We had no passports, we had no birth certificates, and we decided to drive across the Mexican border. We had an incredible time with my parents. At that time, the cancer had infected over 70% of my dad's liver, and it turned all of his skin, all his eyes, very yellow. It was kind of hard to see my dad like that, a very strong, very healthy man, now at the mercy of this sickness. I remember just being there, saying, "Man, this is just not right." We only had the day there, so my friends and I, we had to get back in the car and go off. But if you remember, we don't have passports, we don't have birth certificates. We got into Border Patrol, and we had to sit there for about 4 or 5 hours in Border Patrol while they searched the computers and went through all that to allow us back through Border Patrol. So we got back in the country, went back to Bible College. That was a scary time. Okay, I didn't know what was going to happen there. I didn't know if we were going to have to pay some huge fine, but we just did it anyway. I wanted to see my parents. So. But apparently it wasn't scary enough, because literally a week later, we went right back over into Mexico and went right back over to see my parents again. The medicine, the diet had really been working. My dad's skin completely went back to normal. His eyes went back to normal. And it just really seemed like he was getting better. And then once again, we went back to college, had to sit in Border Patrol for 5 or 6 hours, and then got back to college again. It was a weird time, a difficult time. My parents went back home. They continued that diet. And I'll never forget receiving another phone call from my mom. My mom called and said, "Matt, it doesn't look good. Your dad is that cancer is continuing to grow. It's continuing to spread. And it just doesn't look good." And I remember sitting there. It was a Thursday night. Brother Farmer was my dorm soup at the time. I remember taking me out that Thursday night to Denny's, and I thought he was just trying to see how I'm doing and all that, and I didn't know that my entire dorm was raising money to buy me a ticket to go back home. That following day, Friday night, we had Friday night devotions. I remember sitting in Friday night devotions, not in there yet, I was in my room. I remember just reading my Bible and praying beside my bed, and man, I just lost it. I couldn't believe what was going on. I couldn't believe that God was allowing this to happen to my dad. I just kind of wanted to be home. I remember just bawling my eyes out to the Lord, just sitting there wondering what I was going to do. I just wanted to be home. I remember Justin, the rest of the dorm is out there having dorm devotions. Justin, I think, was about to get up and preach. That was my mentality. I was like, I just can't go out there right now. I remember Justin coming in my room. He said, "Matt, you need to come out here." I remember said, "Matt, when they come out here," I was just kind of bawling my eyes out. I was like, "Justin, really?" Like, "I'm not going out there right now." And he said, "Matt, you really need to come out here." So I was like, "All right, whatever." And he was like, "You're just being stubborn." So I went out there, and I remember the entire dorm just sitting there, and they presented me a ticket to go home the next day. Telling you, I'll be forever eternally grateful to those guys in that dorm. And they just kind of came together and really showed me how much they loved me. That was awesome to have that. I made my way home, and God knew what was going on. Okay? He had those guys in that dorm raise the money, because that next week, I had no idea what was going to happen that next week. It was January 30th when we found out that my dad had cancer. It's the third week of March now. In March, I got home. Man, we had a great time with my dad. My dad was very weak at that time. He was in his bed really most of the time that we were there. And I remember just laying beside my dad, just really just enjoying time with him, just laughing, just talking to him. We brought in the TV. We were watching March Madness on the TV, just really having a good time. And I'll never forget one of the days my brother and I were there. My brother and I, we were called by one of the neighbors. We went up. They called us. It said one of the billy goats got out, and they were kind of chewing up all the grass, chewing up all the plants, and they were kind of destroying their front yard. So they asked us to come up and get them. So my brother and I, we got up there. I grabbed my rope. We went up there. I roped it, and I tied it up, and we threw it in the back of the truck. And I rode in the back with the goat while my brother drove. And I'll never forget that. We were there just kind of enjoying time together. But this goat, I've never heard anything like this in my life. I'm holding this goat, and it's trying to wiggle its way out of the rope. And so I grabbed all three of its legs, and I kind of held its neck back. And this goat, I mean, it let out the most ungodly cry. Its tongue completely came out all the way to the side, and it's foaming out the mouth. And my brother and I could see him. He's just dying laughing in the front. I started laughing in the back, and we were just having a good time. And we drove down the road, got rid of the goat, and then we drove back. I remember that night my dad was on his bed, and I was laying beside him. I was telling him the story from the day, and so I was going through this, and I remember him like just dying laughing. I mean, he's laughing hysterically. He's just shaking in the bed. He's like, "Matt, you got to stop talking." He made me completely leave the room because he was hurting himself. All right, the cancer was in his bones, and he was hurting himself. So he made me leave. But it was just a good time. I really had a good time with my dad that week. Then we're going to bed that night. I'll never forget. I woke up in the middle of the night to my dad literally writhing in pain, just kind of screaming out, just hurting. The cancer had gone so far. I remember going in there, my brother and I just massaging his legs, trying to relieve some of that pain. We finally got him back to sleep. We went back to bed. I remember coming back in literally hours later to the pain so bad. We had to pick him up. We had to take him to the truck, and we drove him to the hospital. I remember going to the hospital, him just kind of writhing in pain. We got to the hospital, and in the hospital room, the ER doctor came out. They gave him some morphine, and they came back and gave him a double shot of morphine. That didn't touch it whatsoever. Didn't touch his pain at all. They gave him something that was they said was 10 times stronger than morphine, and they said this should touch it, but it didn't touch it at all. Remember through all that pain, remember my dad. Telling the ER doctor, he said, "I want you to come over here close." And he began to tell him about Jesus. He began to tell him how much Jesus loved him, and that he died for him, that he wanted to save him. And I remember the ER doctor being like, "Man, what are you talking about?" I remember all through that, my dad being in so much pain, but he was so concerned with souls. Even through that time, he made such an impact on this man that during the entire hospital stay, I remember we stayed on the fifth floor. This man, ER doctor, he said this is the first time I've ever done this in my entire practice. He came up to the fifth floor probably five or six times and just spent time with the family and just really wanted to spend time with my dad to get to know him more. I thought that was the oddest thing, but my dad had made such an impact on him. And I don't know if that man ever got saved, but I do know this. He knows that the Lord loves him. He knows that the Lord wants to save him. He knows that the Lord wants him to spend eternity with him. All because somebody was more concerned with wanting to tell somebody about the Lord rather than being concerned with himself, really. Man, what a testimony. I remember just sitting there, "Dad, you're crazy." how you could go through all that and still love people so much, love to see people saved and do the right thing. I remember just being dumbfounded there. The rest of that week was pretty difficult in the hospital. I remember that that week we just kind of just sat around my dad, talked to him, we sang some hymns, we had a good time with him. That next Monday, March 30th, he found out he had cancer in June. I'm sorry, January 30th. And he passed away that Monday, March 30th, 2 months. that was a trying time, a difficult time. I remember not having any idea what I needed to do after that. I remember my mom asking me right after that, Matt, you going to go back to college? I said, Mom, I don't think so. I think I just want to stay here with you. I said, what would your dad? She then said, Matt, what would your dad want you to do? Better yet, what would God want you to do? I said, Mom, I don't know. So I remember going home that night. I remember going to my bedside. Right beside my bed, we had a nightstand, and I remember opening up the drawer to that nightstand, and on top was a letter from my dad. Didn't know it was there. Didn't know my dad had written it. I opened that letter, and it had that same phrase on it. It said, Matt, I love you. He said, serve God, love him, just keep moving forward. That phrase with his picture is on my wall at home. It goes along right with my life verse. Okay? Just love God, serve him, and keep moving forward. That did it for me. I was like, all right, I'm going back to college. I went back to college. I finished out that semester. I finished out my senior year. But that junior year, as soon as I got back to college, man, my teachers, they were very gracious in helping me pick up the classes and finish classes. But I remember just having a very difficult time. I remember one time I was walking to lunch, and after lunch, I was walking back to my dorms. And I just remember just breaking down. I just remember just hitting rock bottom. We were the crew that I was working on. We were building some dorms on the property. I remember walking out past those dorms. I remember walking out in the desert and just falling to my knees and being like, God, I don't understand what you're doing in my life. I don't understand why this is all happening. Why would you take someone that has such an impact on me? Why would you take the person that I love so much, that I look up to, the man that I called for counsel, the man that I loved and who loved me? God, why would you do that? Why would you allow that to happen? I just kind of struggled right there. I began to just kind of question God. God, why would you allow all this to happen? I don't know if I'll ever know why God allowed it to happen fully. But I do know this. I had ridden my dad's spiritual coattail for a very long time, and I remember that I had to realize, I had to really nail down why I believe what I believe. And I remember, man, I just grew in my relationship with the Lord. I remember right there in that moment that God really got a hold of me, and he really began to just tell me, you've got a heavenly Father. Yes, you've lost your father, but you've got a heavenly Father who loves you. You've got a heavenly Father that you can go for counsel. You've got a heavenly Father that will guide you into all truth, that will never leave you, will never forsake you, will always be with you every step of the way. I just remember being right there and saying, God, thank you. I don't know how I can keep going, but God, I know you're with me. I know you're going to guide me. I know you're going I know you have the perfect will for my life, and I'm just going to keep following you. It was a very trying time, very difficult time, and I just remember keep going back to that verse, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. God, I love you. God, I'm going to keep serving you. I'm going to keep trying to please you with my life, and God was faithful. He kept his promise. That entire semester, my junior year, God continued to lead me. He continued to guide me. He guided me towards the most beautiful, most godly, most amazing woman on the planet, my wife now. God wasn't growing me yet. Yes, he continued to guide me, but he wasn't done growing me yet. I hadn't met her father yet. Okay? But I'm telling you, like, God just continues to guide me every step of the way, and he continued to lead us. We got married, and you kind of know the history past that. But man, God's so good. He continued to lead me and guide me. And yeah, her dad was prickly at first, but he's a big teddy bear now. But I get the privilege of serving God in the best place on the planet. Okay, the best church on the planet, alongside my wonderful, sweet wife. I get to serve God along my very godly father-in-law. It's awesome. I love it. I'm telling you, if I could just challenge you this way, God's so good, and you can go back and yeah, I took a long time telling you all that, but I just do that to say this, and you could do the same thing. If you look back at your life and just see everything that he's lined up, he's done it for a purpose, and he's done it for essentially for good, okay? And we've got to allow him to work on us. We've got to allow him to just guide you every single step of the way to to really realize that all things do work out for good. Okay? My dad and mom meeting, impossible apart from God. Okay? My dad moving us from Oklahoma to Knoxville to Cleveland, getting hold of our hearts there, okay, saving us there, all that impossible apart from God. God getting a hold of my life, leading me to West Coast Baptist College, impossible apart from God. I had no desire to live in Lancaster, California. If you go there, you'll have the same desire, okay? It's not enjoyable, but apart from God, that would have never happened. Me to meet my wife and get past my father-in-law, okay? Impossible, all right, without God, okay? I joke, but God is so good, okay? The trials in our lives, they're meant for our growing and for God's glory. Never give up on this side of a trial. Never give up in the trials that we think they're not enjoyable, they're not fun, I don't want any part of it, I just want to give up. The devil wants you to give up. The devil wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to just completely live defeated. Okay? God doesn't want that for your life. God has tremendous blessings on the other side. And I promise you, if you just allow him to grow you and allow him to lead you through those trials, I promise on the other side, there's tremendous blessings that you'll never have if you never go through them. God wants to bless your life, and I pray that he will. This verse, man, it's a wonderful verse, and it's had a tremendous impact on my life, and I know it will for you as well. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are the called according to his purpose." Let's all bow for prayer.